I have to tell you, the most amazing thing happened to me a week and a half ago. I was at Judson Collins, which is a camp. It's a Methodist camp, a United Methodist camp in the Irish Hills. And we were there camping at the camp. And I was playing Ultimate Frisbee with all the young kids, because that's what I do. And we went in for a drink of water into the kind of the main building where the cafeteria is and the drinking fountain is. And there's a bulletin board, and it was about Judd Collins. Judson Collins was a young man who was born in Ohio, and his family moved and traveled to Michigan. And when he was 15, he gave his life to Christ at a revival. And then for the next several years, he felt God's call on his life. And talk about ripple effects. He began studying Chinese. And this was in the 1840s. And he became one of the earliest Chinese Protestant missionaries to China of the time. And he was so frustrated that it was taking so long and the mission society wasn't moving fast enough for him. And he had this amazing quote that people still use. And he says, "If you can't send me to China, then stick me on a boat and my own strong arms will pull me there." Because he had this burden in his heart that people living without the light of Christ in their lives would come to know who Jesus is. That they would come to understand forgiveness. That they would come to understand what it is like to look back and see, even in the dark times and the hard times and the difficult times, how God has brought him forward. But the thing that blew my mind as I was reading this little pasted up bulletin board in the little lobby where the drinking fountain was the ripple effect of the fact that it was 1843 that Judson Collins gave his life to Christ under the preaching of a certain Reverend Pilcher. And if anybody knows the history of Dexter United Methodist Church, this church was formed in the east wing of Judge Dexter's home. It is Civil War days, or whatever. What do we call it? Railroad days this year. Sorry. Yeah, 175 years. In the east wing of Judge Dexter's house was formed, this Bible study formed into a Methodist church under the leadership of Reverend Pilcher. Eleven years later, preaching at a revival, having begun this congregation, and he touches the life of a 15-year-old who touches the world. That's the ripple effect that we're talking about. And that's the ripple effect that you and I get to be a part of as we dive in with our relationships with Christ, with everything that we are. And so we're going to look at a story, but I just have to say this week was awesome, but it was also overwhelming for me. The pace of life, the big problems in the world, the big and awesome task of seeing what God will do here in Dexter has me a lot overwhelmed sometimes. And living in the margins with no more margin left to live in. But it also has me looking for a miracle. And so, I don't know where you are, but I know where I am. Often there's a lot of other people in the same spot. So I don't know what's going on in your life, but you may be looking for a miracle in your life. And I just want you to know, miracles still happen. And miracles are entirely within the realm of possibility. I think we're seeing one right here. And I don't want you to miss it. So listen. Denise told the story well. When Jesus looked up after he was preaching and teaching, and he saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one of these to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with five small barley loaves. That's like what they fed horses more than people. Five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. This is real stuff. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. That's not even counting the women and children. Jesus then took the loaves. Let me say that again. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same thing with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them, and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley and left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. I'd like to direct your attention to the screens. People that are near and dear to us, John and Cindy Nixon.
Methodist Church for 21 years.
Yeah, when we were looking for churches, we looked all around, and we live a half a mile away. We kept driving by this one, and a blessing. Our daughter said, "Why don't we just go there?" And I think she's five years old at the time. So we pulled in, and we sat in the back row, and we sat in the back row every Sunday thereafter. And I was raised Catholic, and I faded away from that during college, as many people do, sadly enough. And growing in my faith would be not even fair to say, as far as I went from almost nothing to, questioning everything on a daily basis. What I've learned about my faith is it keeps growing every day.
I had such a huge hole before I came here. And I remember when we first stepped into this church, and I was just filled with such intense need, and it came out in tears and yearning and tissue boxes at our side, because that part of us was missing. And as it was filling us, we were crying a lot less, but we really needed to add that part to our lives.
Yeah, when we hear that recently there's a study that says 60% of the surrounding community is unchurched, imagine how many kids would be here if we can just reach out. If we can grow the next 10 years like we have the last 10 years, oh my God, unbelievable. We've become more accepting of the fact that new members are welcome and perfect people aren't allowed. We've grown. We've got more than one pastor now, too. And the church has gone from a couple hundred people to over 1,000 people. But we haven't lost that intimacy, in the atrium on Sunday mornings, or when you get youth group on Sunday nights, or during the week when you have meetings here. That continues. If we, as a church, don't give to dive in, it's not like we're writing grants to Crespi Foundation to fund, our mission. We must support our mission. So I really felt that before we could do anything else as a couple, as a family, on what we give, we got to do this one first and foremost, and honor that pledge.
When the dive-in campaign was first started, or when we were into it and we were asking people to make a commitment, I happened to be involved with the youth program at that time. And that was Sunday that we asked the youth to consider what they thought that they could do over the next 3 years. And when we broke out and we talked to our small group, I remember talking to the girls about it and what because they were all heading off to college. So what can you afford? Can you do this? How is it important to you? What are you planning to do in college? Is Christ going to still be a part of your life? And so we got the cards back from the kids. And I remember they announced the amount, and I don't remember what it was, but it was staggering to me.
28,000.
Blown away by the thousands of dollars that these kids had committed themselves to give to this program. And I went home just on cloud nine, and I'm like, if these kids can give this amount of money, what can we as adults do? And it made me want to rise up to the occasion and really dig deep and give all that we could to see this enormous children's program and the number of adults that are involved in it, giving their time and passion and care and love to these kids. Many of them get it at home, but some don't, and they can come here and really find that they can find out about a loving community and Jesus and what the Dexter United Methodist has to offer to this community.
10 years from now, if I look back over time, what I'd be most proud of Dexter United Methodist Church is we're a church of 5,000 people on a regular basis.
Whoa.
And when I look back and see in 10 years from now a bigger footprint, people coming here, opening the doors to whatever group wants to meet here to just get them in to see, wow, this is a pretty cool place, and we have such a beautiful surrounding. It's peaceful and calm and inviting and a place of refuge for people that are hurting. What we found at this church has been a lifesaver for
us.
Just
love.
Yeah, love.
We want to make a big splash here at Dexter United Methodist Church.
And we want you to join us.
I am so thankful for John and Cindy, and that could have been practically anybody here who's been here a while who sees what God is up to. We cannot church 5,000 people here. Just don't worry. We would have to go multi-site to do that, which is a possibility someday, who knows. But if you are visiting, you need to know you are here on a really special day for those of us who have jumped in and who have been captivated by what God is doing here. And so don't freak out. But I just invite you to pray along with us and to pray for this church and pray for the leadership all among us. And I invite you to take out this. It shares what we're up to, and it's got a page for notes, because I want to dive into what this miracle of Jesus might look like in our lives today. I love when Cindy said, we'd love for you to jump in with us. What would it look like for us to join them in diving in? Because I want that. I want to see people living abundantly right here and in Ipsy and in Detroit and in Redbird Mission and in inner city Memphis and in Belize and around the world. I want to see people filled up to overflowing. You know, Jesus, when he was talking with this crowd in Bethsaida, they were saying, no one went away without sharing in God's bounty. That's justice. That's what we want for our world, starting right here and going from here into all the world, like Judson Collins. The people were filled after this miracle of Jesus. And I don't know what kind of filling you need in your life, but it's what I need too. And if you're like me, you're saying, but I've got this going, and I've got that going, and I've got this going. Ha! I'm the one needing the miracle. And I want to say, listen, God is not baffled by your problems. God is not baffled by our problems. God is not baffled because of our lack, whatever that might be in your life. Maybe it's a lack of friends. Maybe it's a lack of caring people. Maybe it's a lack of employment right now. God is not baffled by that. And talking about lack, Andrew, the disciple, comes up with this young boy with 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. God always uses small things and lack when people give themselves over to him. God can use a measly lunch of some random boy to accomplish his purposes. And God has always used foolish things and small people to impact the world. Sadly, I find that so reassuring. But it's true. In his strength and in his power, these people have made an impact on the world. Repeatedly, when CEOs of major corporations are evaluated across the spectrum of industry, one of their top fears is not making a difference in the world. I think the problem is supply and demand for some of us. It seems our lives demand more and more and more, and our supply is running low. And it's true, the contrast between your supply and what the demand is can be overwhelming. But the Lord Jesus is equal to the task. Whatever it is in you that is preventing you from experiencing this breakthrough, whatever it is in your life, in this account of Jesus, which is the only miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, none of the people went away without sharing in his bounty. They all were filled. Now, the fish and loaves had a backstory. These little things were in the perfect position. Jesus took the loaves, and then he took the fish. And thus, they now had a great story of significance afterward. First, a little bit of the backstory. Huge crowd, Jesus teaching, hungry, wilting people, famished. They were probably even starting to get hangry. You know when you get hungry and angry at the same time? It's bad news. And they were famished. And this boy, probably on his way to market with a little something, he probably stopped by to listen to Jesus for a while. And he heard Jesus' message, and he offered what he had. And I pray you look to see God in the midst of your common life, in the midst of your day, when you're going to market, when you're going to work, when you're going out for the day, when you're staying in for the day, wherever you are. I pray you look to see God in your common life. If you have something to offer, don't be afraid of the fact that you're obscure and you don't have more followers on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever it is. Because there is something you can do and something you can be, but will never do and never be apart from Jesus. If all you have is a little, just a few loaves and fish, use it for Jesus in some way, and you will do the Master's service. God knows where to find you, no matter how lost or obscure or lonely you feel. And he knows right where you are. Now, Andrew, who found the boy with the five little loaves and the two fish, he says this, "But what are these among so many people?" And you know who else says that? You know who whispered that in my ear for years? Not God. And if there's a voice coming and it's not God, don't trust it. I think Satan would love to say this to you. What's the use of you trying anything? You're underappreciated, you're under-talented, you're under-empowered, you're under the gun, whatever it is. What's the use of you trying anything? Here's the deal. The devil is afraid of what you can do. The devil is afraid of what this church can do. And if you and I'll only do what we can do, God will help us do what we cannot. Now, if you and I will only do what we can do, God will help us do the big things, the big problems, the miracles we're looking for, what we cannot. The problem is many of us seem to side with Satan in our despising ourselves, or our small things, or our general lack, or I don't know enough. And we say, like Andrew, what are they among so many? I should be further along by now in my life. I'm so small. I'm so strapped. I have so few blessings in my life. I'm so devoid of talent. There are so few of us to tackle this. Even the disciples disdained the young boy. We are so quick to judge. Listen, the things that God will honor, people will often despise. And if that's a part of your backstory, you may be exactly where you need to be so God can use you if you are willing. But know that the one God uses is not selfish. How many of us want to have our fun first, then make our money, then serve God down the road? That was totally me. Starting out, I wanted to be rich and famous. You've heard the story. performing, that was what it was going to be for me. Then if I was struggling at all, in my mind, that's what I said, then I would go into business and have the family and the backyard, for whatever reason, family, backyard, meaning money and stability, and then I'll give back. But God messed with me, and I know God is messing with us. That's the backstory of the fish and loaves. But now these barley cakes got into the perfect position, and our text says it. Jesus took the loaves. Okay, these loaves and fish were now associated with Jesus Christ. From now on, these loaves don't point out the boy's sacrifice as much as they point out the Savior's power. How crazy is it that Christ, the living God, wants to associate with our weaknesses? Christ, the living God, wants to associate with our lack of talent, with our ignorance, with our meager faith. But he does. He wants you just as you are. That is crazy awesome. And if you've been captured, if you've been called by Jesus, if you've been in love with Jesus, have you thought of bringing your all that you may be associated with him, like those fish and loaves? Your brain, have you brought it to Jesus with his teaching? Your heart, have you brought it to Jesus warmed with the love of God? Your voice, that it could speak words of life and courage into the people around you. Your gifts, that God could multiply them for his service when they are in his hands. Feeding thousands or serving one-on-one someone in need. That's the multiplying ripple effect of God. You and I can be made holy just by placing our all in his hands. Every man, every woman, every youth and child, your ordinary ability in association with Jesus Christ will become sufficient for the time that God needs you and for the time that you need God. And it is time for us to quit dwelling in our deficiencies. So many of us, the biggest voice we hear is the one that says, you're not good enough. It is time to quit dwelling on our deficiencies. That young boy did not dwell there, but he offered and he gave all that he had. So what if we instead bring what we've got, you bring what you've got, I bring what I've got, body, mind, and spirit to be associated with Christ? This boy took his loaves and fish and transferred them to Jesus willingly. A moment ago, they belonged to the boy, but now they belong to Christ. When you give yourself to Christ, what do you mean to say you've done? Do you belong to yourself anymore? Or now do you belong to Christ? Does he have your time or your knowledge or your ability or your influence and position, your money and your home? Does he have you? All that we are put in Christ's hands in this way will allow Christ to multiply the generosity in such a way that Dexter, even to the ends of the earth, that their hunger could be satisfied. Jesus took 5 little loaves and 2 little fish and said, this'll do. Why? Because they became his own. Jesus knew how those gifts can grow. Jesus knew how this church could grow and reach people. Jesus knew that broken people would be healed. Jesus knew how the wonderful fellowship of this congregation could spread. Dale Clausen just told me at annual conference how the teller at the bank said, you go to that church too? She said, you know, every single person that comes in here that I know goes to that church is so kind and pleasant to work with. No, I wasn't really worried. Jesus blesses our offerings, not because of their worth, but because of his power to make them worthy of praise. May God bless every talent you have. May God bless your memory. May God bless your understanding, your voices, your hearts. May God bless your efforts and your gifts and your grace. And the good work begins, that God may bless this world. And when the loaves have been blessed, the next thing was they were multiplied by Christ. Peter takes one and he breaks it. And as he breaks it, he still has as much in his hand as when he started. The boy gave all his lunch. Not much, really. But Christ multiplied it, and the boy didn't hold back. And look too, not only did they multiply, they were distributed by Christ. You see, Jesus doesn't believe in multiplication unless it's accomplished by division and sharing and spreading. Christ's addition means subtraction. And Christ's subtractions from our lives, when he asks us to give up something from our lives, means addition to our lives. He gives that we may give away. He multiplied when the disciples began to distribute, not before. May we go on distributing the love, the hope, and the faith of Jesus Christ, the justice, the mercy, the blessings of God, the forgiveness, the truth, and the grace of our Lord. A Christ who can feed 5,000 can feed millions. There is no limit to God. And a great deal of misery and hunger was removed by this boy's basket of barley cakes. And the people saw he is a prophet of God. May the people here see that from us, through us. And there were baskets full at the end. The more you see it, the more there is. And so today is our day. And I don't want you to wait. I don't want to wait. I want to say, don't wait. You see that the Lord is good. And so I want to invite you to join Lee and me, and John and Cindy, I guess, 5,000, in this incredible miracle of Christ's, seeing what God does when we offer him our small sacrifice for such a need as today.